It's good to be back in the Lord's house. I didn't expect, I knew we voted Sunday night to start continuing Sunday night services, but I didn't expect to start us out. But as I come Wednesday night, Brother Moran met me out there on the sidewalk and said, "Well, you saved me a telephone call." And he said, "I'd like for you to preach for us Sunday night if you can." I appreciate the opportunity. I do need your prayers. You know, as I try to prepare and as I try to get ready to study for a message, I get down and try to humble myself and talk to the Lord about it and ask for His guidance, for His leadership, for His direction, to give me understanding of the things that I read, to give me that wisdom and knowledge, because I want to preach the truth. I want to preach what is right. You know, I don't never discuss the things that the Lord lays on my heart with anybody. For the time that I've been preaching, I've never told Gail what my thoughts was or what my preaching about. I just don't tell her. I don't tell anybody. Brother Moran preached a wonderful message this morning. Amen. Powerful message. He didn't tell me what he was go preach about when he got up here and stood behind the pulpit. I didn't tell him what I was going to preach tonight. But God does bring things together sometimes. And no doubt that the things that was laid upon his heart was things that have been laid upon my heart. Brother Strode may mention this morning that seemed like when he's tried to pray that his prayers didn't reach above the ceiling. I have felt the same way, Brother Strode. Brother Moran talked about prayers, you know, the way sometimes we may pray before we go to bed and give us good night's sleep and wake us up in the morning and then we wake up, we give thanks. A lot of times it's maybe just be like a lip service. Is all it is. And that seemed like I've had trouble of reaching the Lord in prayer. But I want to say, last Sunday, as we were celebrating Christ's crucifixion and, you know, His death, His resurrection, and we had an altar prayer, for the first time in some time, I felt like that I was able to pray spiritually and not just through a lip service. But the Lord gave me utterance and things to pray for, and I felt like that I got in touch with God. And it feels good. It does. When we get in that place, it feels good. We get fed. And I was telling you about the things that the Lord laid up on my heart is similar to the things that Brother Moran spoke about. And I may present these things and present it in a little bit different way of what the way he preached it or the way he brought it about. But it's what the Lord laid up on my heart. And as I went to these scriptures and I started reading and studying and meditating on them, I struggled where I wanted to start at with these and where I wanted to finish. And I'd start reading, and I thought, no, I need to back up. I need to back up some more scriptures. And I'd start reading, and I'd read through, and I'd try to stop. And I thought, no, I need to read on. And I'd done it several times. I kept backing up to other verses, and I kept on reading past the other verses that I tried to stop at, but I was led to continue on. And my reading tonight might be lengthy. And I thought, well, you know, it's going to be a little bit of length to it, and I probably need to apologize for it. But I thought about, no, I don't care if a preacher reads through the whole chapter or he reads one verse. We should never apologize for reading God's Word. Amen. Never. But I do ask for your patience. But we should never apologize when we're reading out of God's Word, no matter how long it might be. So y'all just bear with me as I try to read through this. And it be from the 8th chapter of Romans, beginning with the 6th verse. It says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that thou in the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For as if we live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, we shall live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectations of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption and to the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with the groanings which not can be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to him who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth it? Is Christ that died, ye rather that arisen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril of the sword? As it is written, for my sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And when I was reading these and these thoughts that I had, I thought about how I'd been feeling through the past year, how I had become cold. How that, you know, the churches was shut down, and here at Fairview Memorial, we have tried our best to try to serve the Lord. Started out having services outside to continue to serve the Lord. Then we was able to finally bring them in and to start having services here, but we still kept our distances. We still wore our face mask. We couldn't shake hands. We couldn't hug. And people, you that know me, I'm a shaker and a hugger. I love to shake hands and hug my brothers and sisters in the Lord. I love that fellowship. But you know that stuff, it was those things that they were taken away from us. And I don't care what people say, those that don't come to church and those that say they've been saved by the grace of God, but yet they don't want to come to church, they don't want a fellowship, and I've heard them say, well, you know what? I don't need to go to church, and I don't need to go and serve the Lord in church. You know, I can go out in the woods, and I can get close to my Lord and fellowship with him just as good as anybody. I don't believe it. Amen. You can't do it. I believe, and God instructs us, that we need to fellowship with one another. I believe if you're saved by the grace of God and you're his, I think you need to fellowship with one another, because you know what? When we fellowship with one another, we grow stronger than the things that we can do on our own. Brothers and sisters, I draw strength from y'all. I'm glad I have y'all to pray for me and to fellowship with me, because I need it. You know, like I said, I've talked to the Lord, but it just seemed like that I couldn't get to the place that I needed to get to. I just seemed like I couldn't get there. I got so caught up in the things of the world, and that's the reason I kept reading, and I started backing up and finally got to the sixth verse here in this chapter that says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And to be carnally minded, to be, you're dominated by your sin nature. And to be spiritually minded, that you're controlled by the Holy Spirit that Brother Moran talked about this morning, the Holy Ghost. But you know what? The devil has had a field day with us, people. The devil has had a field day. Our country and our nation is just really right where he wants us to be.
Actually, he wants things worse than what they are. And it's a good chance that they're going to get worse. They could get better, but it's a good chance they're going to get worse. And you know, and I have stood and I've preached and everything before that I don't want to be a doomsday preacher, but you know what? There's a reason why Christ is coming back. Sin is going to be so great and things are going to get so bad that God the Father is going to say enough is enough and Jesus is coming back. Brother Moran said he felt like that he would probably be in the grave before Jesus comes back. That's possible. It's possible that I'll be in the grave when Christ comes back. But no man knows. Not a one. But I'm glad that I'm prepared either way. I'm glad that I've got that time and place where the Lord spoke peace to my heart. That how he convicted my soul and troubled me that I was able to repent to him with godly sorrow. And I'm glad that he granted me that saving faith that I had to have that I could trust in his son and what he did at the cross at Calvary. But you know, we still have to deal with this fleshly body, don't we? We still have to deal with the world and to be carnally minded that I said, you know, it was dominated by our sin nature. But I also want you to say that, you know, look at it as worldly minded. Because of the things that's been going on, it's almost really been depressing. And whether it's in our politics, whether it's in our government, the COVID that's been mentioned that we've had to deal with because the way we've had to restructure our lives, the way we live and the things that we do, it affects us, people. It affects us, brothers and sisters. And as Brother Moran was talking about, that by dealing with these things and being worldly minded and being affected by the things of the world, it can bring us down. Bring us down where Satan would like for us to be, where the Lord can't use us. The Satan loves that. He don't want us working for the Lord. But I feel like I got to that place that I wasn't able to get in touch with the Lord and I couldn't serve him spiritually like I needed to. Not that I never quit loved him, but you know what? I let the world come in. Worldly minded of thinking of everything that was going on in our nation, going on in the world, going on in our country. Even for you that don't know, I retired the end of February. And I got caught up into that because, you know, I was going to lose Gail on insurance. I've always had good insurance to be able to take care of her medical bills and to take care of her prescription drugs and stuff that I didn't really have to worry about it because I had good insurance. But when I was retiring, I was going to lose all that on her. So I got caught up in trying to figure out what I was going to do and how we was going to do it, that I wanted to be sure that she had the medical care that she needed and that she had the prescription drugs that she needed, and got caught up in that. And that's worldly stuff, really. I mean, God knows that he gives us enough sense and common sense that we need to take care of one another and take care of our spouses and do the best for our spouses. God didn't expect us that when he created us that we just sit on our tail ends and do nothing and wait upon him. He gave us enough sense that we need to get out and work and provide for our families and do for our families. He gave us that mind and that sense to do these things, but still I let so much of this stuff bog me down that I would worry about it. But you know, that's the flesh that we have to deal with, that worldly minded. But it don't have to be that way, people. It don't have to be that way. Down here at the 11th verse, it says, but of the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. I was made alive by the spirit. But it talks about our mortal bodies that there is a day that when Christ is going to come back, that we're going to have glorified bodies. Our mortal bodies, this fleshly body that we have. But you know what? Rather you die, it said the dead will rise first, and then he's going to get his people that's still living. But either way, these mortal bodies, whether it's the one that's gone back to the dust, or if it's the one that we're still living when he comes back, they're going to be glorified, and we're not going to have any sin in these mortal bodies. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you, through the Spirit, do, that's to put off, put to death, the deeds of the body, you shall live. The Lord has saved my soul, and I'm going to live. We can put off the deeds of this mortal body, but we live in spirit. It says, before you have not received the spirit of bondage to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Have you experienced that? Have you experienced that? As I read that, I thought about in Matthew 16:16, when Jesus was, the disciples had come together in Caesarea Philippi, and he said, who do the disciples say who I am? Who do they say that the Son of Man am? And some of them said, well, some say that you're John the Baptist. Some say that you're Jeremiah, and some say you're Elijah, and some say that you're a prophet. But Jesus asked them and said, well, who do you say I am? And Peter spoke up and said, you're the Son, you're the Christ of the true and living God. And I'm paraphrasing, but that's what Peter said, that you're the Christ of the true and living, the Son of God. And what did Jesus tell him? He said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but God the Father did. The Spirit of God revealed that to you. Well, you know what? When we're saved by God's grace, did we not experience that? Did we not experience that, for you have not received the spirits of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby you cry, Abba, the Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The witness, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit that we're talking about, that Jesus left behind when his ascension, when he went up into heaven, the Spirit of God was left behind to deal with us. Ain't you glad that was left behind? Because you know what? The Spirit of God is the one that dealt with me and convicted my heart. I didn't see Jesus, and I didn't really know Jesus, but the power of the Holy Spirit convicted my heart. Let me know that I was a sinner and that I needed to be saved by God's grace. And that's what it is. When we're saved, it's by the grace of God. So, if you've ever been truly saved by the grace of God, the Spirit has bears witness with your spirit. That's what the Bible teaches. You see, I know that the Spirit bears witness with me when I got saved, because no man had to tell me that I was saved. I remember, and I've told this story before, that when I was seeking after the Lord, I was up here at this altar, and Brother Moran ask for a Christian handshake and for those to come by and shake hands with one another. And of course, we know during our revivals, when people walk by, they might say something to those that's bowed down at the altar seeking the Lord. Different things that are said. I remember those come by and tapping me on the head or pat me on the shoulder or the back and maybe say something to me. And I remember Brother Moran coming through and I knew his voice. Well, I got up because, see, something happened to me that day before I ever got here. Something happened to me, but I had been deceived before. I thought I was all right before, but I wasn't. But the Lord let me know that I wasn't all right, but I got down here and I tried to pray. And when I got up here praying that night, I could not pray. Y'all have heard me say that, and I've told it before, that when I got up here and tried to pray, I might not knew the songs or knew the words to the songs, but I would try to sing with everybody else or hum it. But I could not pray to be saved. And if you know me and remember me up here, I was in trouble. A 34-year-old man that was full of pride. But the Lord had broken me down. And that's what it takes. You got to be broken down, people. And you know that. Anybody that's experienced the power of conviction, and you've got to be broken down. You got to have that contrite spirit. But Brother Moran come through, and I heard his voice, and I got up, and I sit down on the pew, and I said, you know, Brother Moran, I think I got saved today. You know what his words to me was? If any of y'all remember, he said, well, buddy, that's between you and the Lord and nobody else. He didn't tell me, and he wasn't about to tell me. And I looked at him, and I told him, I said, I know I'm going to get down here, and I'm just going to try to pray some more. But while I was down there praying, the Spirit of God let me know what had happened to me earlier that day. Brother Moran didn't have to tell me. The Spirit of God witnessed to me, to my spirit, and let me know that I was the Son of God. Amen. In these scriptures, I go a little bit further, and when I say that, it tells you why I'm the Son of God, why I can say that. It says, and if the children then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also glorified together. So you know, I just said that I was a son of God because he's Abba the Father to me, to anybody that has been saved by his grace. And I become heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, joint heirs with Christ. We call each other brothers and sisters. Why do we say that? Because if you've been covered by the blood of Christ, you too have become heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, which makes you brothers and sisters in the Lord. That's sweet, isn't it? That is sweet that I can call Christ my brother, that I can call God, the Jehovah God, a God that lives, a God that truly exists. I can call him Father. It says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Brothers and sisters, there's a great day coming. There's a day that there's going to be such glory and it's going to be revealed. Christ is going to come from heaven as he he's ascended up to heaven. He's going to come back in the clouds, and he's coming back to get those that are his. Ain't you glad of that? We ought to think about that, brothers and sisters. We've got caught up in the world with our carnal nature and got caught up with the things that's going on, like I say, whether it's the politics. But think about what we have. Think about the things that are going to come. The things that we've inherited. I inherited a home. That home that I live in right now that I call home with my companion, it's on a burn up. It's going to burn up. But you know what? I've got a home in heaven. And we can glorify that, brothers and sisters, and we need to think about that. We think about all the things that we're dealing with in the past year, but we need to think about these things that I'm reading about tonight. Over here in the 24th verse, it says, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doeth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." And I actually, when I started reading that, talking about the hope here and the things that we see not and the things that we do see. And I thought about the verse in 2 Corinthians, the 4:18, where he talked about, that Paul talked about the things which are seen are temporal, but the things of which are not seen are eternal. What's that telling us? Everything that we see with our eyes today, whether it's this church house and the beauty that we see out here as we're driving down Cemetery Road, it's on a goal come to an end. It is not eternal. But through faith, because we ain't met Christ, not face to face. Now, I did say that the Holy Spirit that was, but we haven't seen Christ. We have not seen the Son. We have not seen God the Father. But we have that hope because, you know what? It says the things which are not seen are eternal. Well, the God I serve is an eternal God. The Son of God, which is Christ Jesus, He's eternal. Heaven, which that Jesus said he was going to prepare a place, that there was many mansions. As I've said before, a lot of people think of a mansion, it's going to be some fancy home. I don't care if it's a fancy home, but what that really is telling me, that I am going to have a dwelling place in heaven. That's all that matters. If it's a big mansion, that's fine, but if it's a shack, that's fine too. But the important thing is if we've been saved by the grace of God, we have a home in heaven. We have that, people. It says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with the groanings and cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth, omnipotent, he knows everybody's heart. He searches the heart of everyone, and he knows every heart. He knows all things. He searches the hearts and knoweth that what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." So thankful that he makes intercessions. You know, when I was pleading my case, when I was begging to be saved, when I become a beggar, Christ was making an intercession for me. He was making intercession for you. Verse 28, it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I want to turn over here. I want to read that first once again.
It says, and we know that all things, get that? All things work together for good to them that, what? Love God. Don't work together for all these others that don't love God, that don't know God, but for those that love God, all that love Him. And over here in the 1 Timothy, it talked, well, first I'll continue that verse. It says that love God to them who are the called according to His purpose. Then I want to flip over here to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. And it says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world ever began. A holy calling, brothers and sisters. And over here in the 90th chapter of Psalms, I told you here in this reading in the ninth chapter that in Christ Jesus before the world began. I want to turn over here to the 90th Psalm, first verse. It says, Lord, Thou hast been a dwelling place in all generations. Now get this, because this is going to be something that's important as we go a little bit further into this. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Before the mountains were brought forth, formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting. So remember that scripture, sir, that I just read, because we'll have to go a little bit further into that as I continue on. It says, for whom we did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of God. Let me start over. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate them, He also called, and whom He called them, He also justified, and whom He justified them, He also glorified. And here it talks about, in the 29th verse, it talks about He did foreknow and also did predestinate. There are those that teach and believe that there are those that are predestinated, that He knows of those that's going to be saved and those that's not going to be saved, that it's already fixed. Some teach that. That's not what these scriptures here are teaching us and telling us. God was eternal. He was everlasting to everlasting, which there is no beginning and there's no end. He existed even before He formed the world, before He even formed the mountains. That's what the scriptures tell us. Now He did have, and these scriptures talk about predestination or predestined. He did predestine. He predestined that He was going to have a people, that there was going to be a group of people that was going to be redeemed. This before creation ever come about. That He had a plan in place that there was going to be a group of people that was going to be redeemed. And who are the redeemed? Those that's been saved by His grace. God was everlasting. He's eternity. He's everlasting. There's no end to it. And not just Him, but Brother Moran talked about there were three. the Father, the Jehovah God, the Father, Jesus Christ, the Son, and he talked about the Holy Ghost. There were three, and they all existed before creation ever come about. So God the Father had a plan that there would be a group, a body of redeemers before creation ever come about. He predestined that. He also predestined the way that we is going to be redeemed. And how was that going to happen? How was that going to work? It was going to work because he predestined his son, Jesus, to be that sacrifice, that he would be the one that would die at the cross at Calvary, that we might have faith in him and believe what he did, that we might be redeemed, saved by his grace, and put back into fellowship with God the Father. And through that, believing that and being saved by his grace through believing in Christ Jesus and what he did for us, they also predestined that we would become what? I read it in the scriptures. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. That was the things that he predestined. If there was a predestination of who was already going to be saved and who wasn't going to be saved, there wouldn't have been no reason for Christ to even come and die. If everything was already set in stone. Well, it's not set in stone because you see what God did when he created man. He made us free agents. He made us willing to make the choices that we make. And we make that choice whether we want to take the word and seek after him and believe in what the Bible teaches us, or we have that free will to reject it and not believe none of it. We have that choice. We can run from God, and people do. It's already mentioned about the way the shape of our country and our nation's in today, that nobody wants to believe in God. Nobody wants to serve God. They just want to do their own will and live the way they want to live without being responsible in any way. Not responsible to nobody, no way and no how, but just to serve their own worldly wants. Verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Is it really necessarily to really worry about the things that we've got caught up in the world in this past year through the things that's going on? We need to think about our spiritual ways and our spiritual thoughts. Think about, already I said earlier, think about, brothers and sisters, what we've got. Think about what Christ has done for us. Think about what God predestined, that we had a way back to him, that we had the opportunity to be saved, and we have an opportunity one day after a while to go to heaven. No matter what do we have to deal with the devil here, down here, right now, in these days. It goes on in 35th verse. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or perilous sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Ain't you so glad that he loved us? He don't just love us, he still loves us. He still loves us. Paul went on to say, he said, for I am persuaded
that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height or depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Brothers and sisters, our cup ought to be runneth over. We need to shake the things of this world that we've got caught up in, worldly minded, that we don't have the spirit that we have, because we can have that. But we've got to shake these things. We've got to shake the devil. What we can say, Satan, get behind us in the name of Jesus. That's what we need to be doing, brothers and sisters. Instead of thinking of the world and getting caught up in the things of the world that's affecting our spiritual fellowship with the Lord, because I've done told you and read about what the Lord has done for us, and we ought to be full of God's Spirit because of the love of what Christ has done for us. When we pray, we need to ask God to liberate us, that we might be able to pray spiritually, that we might be able to get in touch with Him. Not with a lip service. Sometimes it's hard to, brothers and sisters. But we need to think about what God has done for us. You need to think about what we've got and what we inherited and what we have to look forward to. Because there's so many out here in the world right now, they don't have that. Their pleasures is what they've got right now, but you know what? Those pleasures ain't going to last. But the pleasures that we have and the things that we received, they're eternally. They're eternally. It's going to be everlasting. And you know what? Brother Moran preached about revival, not so much a revival of souls getting saved, but revived as God's people. And if these scriptures don't give us hope, I don't know what scriptures will. Because it tells us how much that He loved us and what He's done for us. And our cups shouldn't just be running over. Our saucers ought to be running over too. Because what God has done for us. No height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ our Lord. You know, as I was studying this, and as I was reading this and meditating upon it, the Lord came into my heart in such a way that I hadn't been able to feel in a while. And I know as Bible readers and stuff, sometimes you can read stuff and read lessons and study things, and you can feel it, and you can get in touch with the Lord. But as I was reading these things and meditating upon these things and studying these things, let me tell you something. I got filled up. I couldn't see to read. I got to the point where I felt I couldn't even hardly breathe, that I was in such a shape. It felt good, brothers and sisters. It felt good, and Brother Moran knows what I talk about when we get in sometimes, and Brother Mike, and as preachers that we get in and try to study His Word, how He can fill us up in such a way. Brother Moran, thank you for the opportunity to allow me to come tonight and preach. I needed it. It got me to a place that I needed to get to, that I haven't been at for a while. Brothers and sisters, we all need to get to that place and ask the Lord to help us stay at that place. Because when we're where we need to be and pray to God spiritually and serve Him in spirit and truth, it's unlimited what God can do for us. It's unlimited. We want souls to be saved. We want those that's under the influence of this church coming in out of these doors that never have told a testimony. The children, the adults, different ages. But if we get together as God's people where we need to be and serve Him and think about it, dwell on the things that I've read, it's unlimited what God can do for us. It's unlimited. Thank you for listening. God bless you is my prayers. Brother Moran.
God bless you, brother.